Today I have a question for you. Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like, what did you get yourself into? You didn't have the right experience or the right skill set? Well, I know I have, and you probably have too. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Okay, today we're going to continue with the series, The Manifestation of Your Life Mission. Rick is showing us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to do, we don't have to run away from it. We can actually run toward it. This is such a good message, and I hope you'll invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how we can live according to the purpose and plan that He has for us. All right, we're joining Rick with part two of a message called What to Remember When Things Don't Go Your Way.
We want to be forgiven. We want God to show us grace. We want God to show us mercy. But that guy who hurt me, no, God, you get him. He deserves justice. Do I deserve justice? No, I deserve grace. I deserve mercy. Jonah wants God to forgive him, but he doesn't want God to forgive anybody who's hurt him. And he's resentful. And he's resenting that God is actually showing mercy to somebody who hurt him. He's resentful that God is showing mercy and forgiveness to somebody he doesn't like, his enemies. And he wants forgiveness for himself. He wants justice for everybody else. So let's just get real today. Let's don't talk about this guy thousands of years ago. Let's talk about you. Who do you want God to not forgive? Who do you want God to not forgive? Please don't forgive them, God. They hurt me too much. Who has hurt you so much that you don't want God to show them mercy? This is the Jonah trap. And it happens as much today as it did to this guy a long time ago. Who is it that hurt you so much you don't want God to show mercy? Who are you unwilling to forgive that God's already forgiven? God's already forgiven them, but you won't because you think you're better than God. You are only hurting yourself. You're not hurting them. Holding on to that resentment, holding on to that hatred, holding on to that hurt is not hurting them. All it's doing is making you miserable. Who are you unwilling to forgive that God has forgiven? I remember a guy came to John Wesley one day and he said, they were talking about a guy, and the guy said, oh, I could never forgive that guy. I could never, never forgive that man. John Wesley said, well, then I hope you never sin. Why? Because when you don't want to burn the bridge that you have to walk across to get to heaven. Let me show you what Jesus said up here on the screen. Jesus said this, if you forgive others the wrongs they've done to you, your Father in heaven will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive the wrongs you have done. Uh-oh. When you refuse to forgive, you're burning the bridge you have to walk across to get to heaven. If you're unwilling to forgive others, God says, why should I forgive you? If you're unwilling to show grace to others, why should I show grace to you? You want everybody else to have justice, but you want to have mercy. That is the Jonah trap. That is the Jonah mistake. You need to learn to forgive everybody who's ever hurt you for three reasons: past, present, and future. Now listen very closely. Three reasons. You need to let it go. No matter how badly, do they deserve it? Of course not, but you don't either. Forgiveness is never deserved. Forgiveness is never earned. Forgiveness is just a gift. You don't forgive them because they deserve it. You forgive them because you want to feel better. You do it for your sake. You let them off the hook for three reasons. First, I have been forgiven a lot in the past, so I need to forgive other people. Second, holding on to the hurt right now just makes me miserable. I end up thinking about people I don't want to think about. And I'm going to, in the future, need more forgiveness in the future, because I'm certainly not going to be perfect from here on out. So I need to let it go for all three reasons. Past, I've been forgiven. Second, I don't want to be miserable now. And third, I'm going to need more forgiveness in the future. Friend, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. Not because they deserve it. You didn't deserve the forgiveness God's given you. You let it go because holding on to it hurts you. Now, Jonah gets mad because God does good things to people who are repentant. And Jonah gets irritated because God shows grace to people that Jonah didn't like. You'd think he'd be more gracious. God had shown him an awful lot of grace for his stinky attitudes and his rebellion and all that. So Jonah doesn't want those people in Nineveh to be forgiven. He wants them to be destroyed. He wants the whole city to be wiped out. And God had said, I want you to go warn them so I don't have to wipe them out. I want them to turn. You know, there's one other possible motive that Jonah has, and we see it in the Living Bible translation of Jonah chapter 4, verse 3 up here on the screen. Jonah goes, I'd rather be dead than alive when nothing that I told them has happened. What's he worried about here? His reputation. He said, God, you told me to go to Nineveh and go, in 40 days the city will be destroyed if you don't turn, if you don't repent, if you don't come back to God. And now it hasn't happened. That makes me look bad, God. He's more worried about how he looks than people's salvation. He'd rather see an entire city destroyed than him look bad. He goes, you know, it's better for me not even be alive. This makes me look bad. I'm worried about how I appear to others. Are you? Now, because of this, in the second half of this chapter, God has to teach Jonah an object lesson. And it's one that we all have to learn. We're going to look at this. Now, we know that life is filled with interruptions, with dead ends. You know, you think you're going that way and it's just a dead end. With detours in your plans in life. All of our plans, they just get kicked out the side of the door so often. And we get so many messed up plans in our lives. What should I remember when things don't go my way? Well, you need to remember four things. And that's what the last half of this chapter, this last chapter of the book of Jonah, teaches us. Four things to remember when things don't go your way. Now, things aren't gonna go your way a lot in your life, so you need to write these down. And you need to remember, this is what I need to think about when things aren't going my way. When my plan doesn't match God's plan. Number one, first, when things don't go my way, remember, there are four things to remember. Remember, God can see things I can't. I just have to remind myself when things aren't going my way that God can see things that I can't. Jonah's all upset that God had said, I'm going to destroy this city if they don't turn to me. They turned to him. He said, I'm going to let them off. He's upset about that. And in verse 4, it says, then God asked Jonah, who's all ticked off, what right do you have to be angry over what I've done? Why should you be angry that I've forgiven these people? He's going, are you God? Are you wiser than me? Can you see things that I can't see? Anytime you doubt God's wisdom, you're going to get in trouble. Because God is God and you're not. And when I have my plan and all of a sudden God has his plan and God's plan is different than my plan and I start to get upset about it, I just need to remember God can see stuff I can't see. God can see the past and the present and the future all at the same time because he's not limited by time. We're on a planet that circles 24 hours, you know, around the sun and rotates and but we have a time. If you weren't on this planet, your concept of time would be very different. God is timeless. He can see the past, present, and the future all together. He can see what you can't see. So you need to trust his wisdom. When we doubt God's wisdom, we get in trouble. God had to deal with this with a lot of people in the Bible, not just Jonah. Another guy named Job. Look up here on the screen. The Bible says in Job 38, 2 and 3, the Lord said to Job, who are you to question my wisdom? Where were you when I made the world? Not a bad question. Where were you when God made the world? Are you God? Do you see things he doesn't see? Do you know more than he knows? Do you think your plan is better than his plan? Where were you when I made the world, God says? He says, do I need your advice to change plans? No. Do I need to consult you when I know what's going to be better for you? No. Are you being a little presumptuous? Yes. I said, I just need to remember when things don't go the way I planned, God is God and I'm not. And I just need to trust him. And I need to trust his wisdom. I need to trust that he can see things that I can't see. On the screen, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11 says this. God does everything just right and on time. So he always does the right thing and he always does it at the right time. God's never late. We might think he's late, but God's never late. God does everything just right and on time. But people can never completely understand what he's doing and see the whole scope of his work from beginning to end. We don't see what God sees. You trying to understand God's plan is like an ant trying to understand the internet. I don't have the brain capacity to see from beginning to end and see all of history, and you don't either. And so the first thing I have to do is remember that God can see things I can't see. So God's saying, don't doubt me. Don't doubt me when you're going through tough times. I know what's going on. I can see where it's headed. I know the ending. I know the end of the story. I've read the last chapter. So he said, don't doubt me. Remember that God can see things I can't. So this is the first thing Jonah has to learn. Now, Jonah leaves the city, okay? And in the next verse, verse 5, it says, then Jonah left the city of Nineveh, and he found a place east of the city to sit down, and there he tried to make a temporary shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. Now, do you see what's going on here? Jonah is still hoping, even though God says he's gonna forgive the city, Jonah's still hoping God's gonna destroy him. And so what he does is he leaves town, he goes out up on a hill outside of town, and he sits down to watch the show. He's waiting for God to destroy the largest city in the world at this time. Okay, this is gonna be a good show. So he gets out there and he's ready and he sets up his lawn chair and he pours an iced tea and gets out his chips and guacamole and, you know, he's waiting to see a city destroyed. He said, man, that's a little gruesome. How entertaining is it to watch people be destroyed, killed, and cities destroyed? Well, they're called blockbuster movies. I mean, thousands of years later, people pay big money to go see cities destroyed and people killed. So he thinks, I'm gonna be entertained by this. So he's sitting out there in his chair, waiting to see what will happen. The problem is, it's a hot, 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 dusty, deserty day, and Jonah doesn't have a beach umbrella. So he's getting hot. And that leads us to the second thing you need to remember, because what God does next is pretty unusual. Number two, write this down. When I'm going through a tough time that I don't understand, what I need to remember when things don't go my way is remember God is good to me even when I'm cranky. God is good to me even when I'm cranky. Now, Jonah, he's mad at God, but God's still gonna be good to him. And in the next verse, verse 6, it says, talks about that even when your attitude stinks, God is still gracious to you. Verse 6, then God arranged, Jonah's out there sitting under the hot sun, then God arranged for a broad-leafed plant to spring up quickly and provide shade for Jonah from the hot sun and to relieve his discomfort. This made Jonah very happy and comfortable. Jonah's being a total jerk. God still cared for his discomfort. Okay, this is kind of cool here, okay? Now notice this, then God arranged, circle that word arranged. It's the same word where it says God arranged a great fish. He custom made a broadleaf plant to spring up quickly and provide shade over Jonah while he's sitting. He's worried about Jonah's discomfort, even though Jonah's attitude stinks. God cares about you, friends, even when you're a jerk. And he's saying here that you have no idea how many times God has made your life comfortable when you didn't deserve it. You may have been going the exact opposite of God, and God's still covering you with shade. You may have been ticked off at God. You may have been totally ignoring God, and God was still caring for your discomfort, because that's the kind of God God is. He loves you even when you're unlovable. He loves you even when you're unlovely. Here's Jonah, mad at God for God changing the plans and going, I'm going to forgive those people. He's out there and he's complaining about how hot it is, and God takes care of his discomfort. I need to remember that God is good to me even when I'm cranky. And I need to remember that I have no idea how many times God has made my life easier when it could have been harder, and I didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it at all. It was simply the grace of God. Now, here's the third thing to remember. When things don't go as planned, I remember God sees things I don't see. When things don't go as planned, I remember that God is good to me even when I'm cranky. And number three, when things don't go as planned, I remember that God is in control of every detail of my life. God is in control of every detail of my life. The big and the little, the large and the small, the fast and the slow, every detail in my life. Plans in your life, friends, don't fail randomly. I'll say it again. Plans in your life don't fail randomly. There is a purpose. There is a reason behind everything. Everything in your life. Now, God has to teach this lesson to Jonah. So he actually uses the object lesson of this plant that he's grown up to give comfort to Jonah, that God is in control of every little detail of my life. And in the net, you know, so God had arranged for this plant to spring up and provide shade while he's sitting out there waiting for the show to happen, the show of destruction. But in the next verse, it says this, but at dawn the next day, God arranged, there's that word again, God is custom designing, God arranged for a small worm, oh great, a small worm to chew through the stem of that large, this is gonna be an object lesson, chew through the stem of that large shade plant, so that it withered and died. Then when the sun arose, God arranged, there's another word again, a scorching east wind. And the sun blared so hot on Jonah's head that he grew faint and he wanted to die. And he said again, it would be better for me to die than to live. Okay, now so far we've seen God arranging all kinds of things in Jonah's life. Okay, he's arranged a fish, he's arranged a plant, he's arranged a worm. God's using all, in fact, look up here on the screen. Here's all the stuff that God had arranged in Jonah's life. The Bible tells us in chapter 1, verse 3, God arranged a great wind to create a storm. Then it says in verse 7, God arranged the dice to reveal that Jonah was the problem. You remember that part of the story. Then it says God arranged a great fish to transport Jonah back to where he was supposed to be. Then it says God arranged a fast-growing plant to provide shade. And then it says that God arranged a worm to eat the plant for breakfast. It's all been arranged. Now I want you to listen to me. The things that you think are disappointments in your life, disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments are his appointments. Disappointments, what looks like a disappointment in your life, is his appointment. It may not be your plan, but God has a plan. God is God, and you're not. The more you fight God's plan, the more miserable you're going to be. And you're going to have frustration and anger and self-pity and depression and maybe even feel like taking your life. But if you go with the flow and you say, God, I trust your wisdom, and I trust that you're good to me even when I don't deserve it. You're good to me even when I'm a jerk. You give me comfort. I mean, I may be running from you completely. I'm still breathing air. I'm still drinking water. My heart's still beating. Those are all gifts of God. I wouldn't last 1 second without the grace of God, and you wouldn't either.
You know, people are being transformed by these messages. In fact, here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today, I want to share a testimony from Ella, who listens to Daily Hope in Canada, and she started listening to our broadcast during COVID-19 pandemic. She wrote, "Pastor Rick, like so many, I found every area of my life flipped upside down when the pandemic hit in 2020. I graduated from the university in April that year, and I was lost and desperate for guidance. Yet, as stubborn as I was, I searched for answers everywhere else except in God's Word. But out of desperation, I read The Purpose-Driven Life, and I started listening to Daily Hope. Daily Hope was one of the resources that became monumental in my journey to giving my life to Christ a year after I started listening. And so I want to thank you, and I want to thank everyone at Daily Hope for all the work that you do. It must seem so abstract when people you reach are all over the world, but I know I'm not alone in saying that Daily Hope has helped me find comfort and God when I needed it most." Wow. Ella, thank you so much. Thank you for writing, and thank you for telling me that you've accepted Christ. You know, I know so many people who are just like you. They're lost, they're looking for answers, and they keep looking everywhere but in the right place, God's Word for the truth. But praise God, you found the Word of God, you believed His Word, and you believed that Jesus is the truth. So it's a blessing. It's a blessing to know that God is using this broadcast to help bring you and other people to Him on a daily basis. Now, you mentioned that it must be unusual to reach people around the world, even though I'm not able to meet them face to face. And I'd like to say this. I wish I could meet everybody face to face. I wish I could take every one of you out to a corner restaurant, sit down and have a cup of coffee, and just let me hear your life story. Nothing would make me feel happier than doing that. But that's why I'm blessed to receive letters. Please write me. Please tell me your story. I want to know how God is changing your life, how God is using His Word through Daily Hope to make a difference in you. So let me know what God's doing in your life. Let me know how He's using Daily Hope to help you in your Christian walk. And that way we can pray intelligently for you.
If you'd like to bless Pastor Rick by letting him know how much this broadcast has helped you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.